In that book, I coined the term Sunbelt to describe the oil, military, aerospace, and retirement country that stretched from Florida to California. But debate concentrated on the argument, since fulfilled and then some, that the South was on its way into the National Republican Party. 4 decades later, this framework has produced the triple mutation that this book will discuss. Some of that evolution was always implicit. If any region of the United States had the potential to produce a high-powered, crusading fundamentalism, it was Dixie. If any new alignment had the potential to nurture a fusion of oil interests and the military-industrial complex, it was the Sun Belt that helped to draw them into commercial and political proximity and collaboration. Wall Street, of course, has long been part of the GOP coalition. On the other hand, members of the Downtown Association and the Lynx Club were never enthusiastic about Joe Sixpack and Middle America, to say nothing of preachers such as Oral Roberts or the Tupelo, Mississippi Assemblies of God. The new cohabitation is an unnatural one. Little was said about oil in the emerging Republican majority, partly because I knew I would be in the government when the book appeared. Still, oil men liked its political thesis, and I fleshed out an analysis still relevant today. That the nation's oil, coal, and natural gas sections, despite their intramural differences, would be regional mainstays of the new heartland-centered GOP National Coalition. Hitherto, these interests had been divided by the political Mason-Dixon line. That division would, and did, end. While studying economic geography and history in Britain some years earlier, I had been intrigued by the Eurasian heartland theory of Sir Halford Mackinder, a prominent early 20th century geographer. Control of the heartland, Mackinder argued, would determine control of the world. In North America, I thought the coming together of a heartland, across fading Civil War lines, would determine control of Washington. Wordsmith William Safire, in his The New Language of Politics entry on the Heartland, cited Mackinder. He then noted that political analyst Kevin Phillips applied the old geopolitical word to U.S. politics in his 1969 book, The Emerging Republican Majority. 21 of the 25 Heartland states supported Richard Nixon in 1968. Over the remainder of the century, the Heartland should dominate American politics in tandem with suburbia, the South, and Sunbelt-swayed California. This was the prelude to today's Red States. Mackinder's worldview has its own second wind because his Eurasian cockpit has reemerged as the pivot of the international struggle for oil. In a similar context, the American heartland, from Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico to Ohio and the Appalachian coal states, has become, along with the rest of the one-time Confederacy, the seat of a fossil fuels political alliance, an electoral hydrocarbon coalition. It cherishes SUVs and easy carbon dioxide emissions policy and applauds preemptive U.S. airstrikes on uncooperative, terrorist-coddling Persian Gulf countries fortuitously blessed with huge reserves of oil. Because the United States is beginning to run out of its own oil sources, a military solution to an energy crisis is hardly lunacy. Neither Caesar nor Napoleon would have flinched, and the temptation, at least, is understandable. What Caesar and Napoleon did not face, but less able American presidents do, is that bungled overseas military embroilment, unfortunate in its own right, could also boomerang economically. The United States, some $4 trillion in hock internationally, has become the world's leading debtor, increasingly nagged by worry that some nations will sell dollars in their reserves and switch their holdings to rival currencies. Washington prints bonds and dollar green IOUs, which European and Asian bankers accumulate until, for some reason, they lose patience. This is the debt Achilles' heel, which stands alongside the oil Achilles' heel. Unfortunately, as much or more dynamite hides in the responsiveness of the new GOP coalition to Christian evangelicals, fundamentalists, and Pentecostals, who muster some 40% of the party electorate. Many, many millions believe that the Armageddon described in the Bible is coming soon. Chaos in the explosive Middle East, far from being a threat, actually heralds the awaited second coming of Jesus Christ. Oil price spikes, murderous hurricanes, deadly tsunamis, and melting polar ice caps lend further credence.